Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I'll
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Welcome to Eagles of Flight Hour. I'm Apostle Marcus Dupree. We thank God for Prophet Sleeping Dupree as well. And we thank God for the word of God tonight for the people of God. We thank the Lord for each and every one of you being here. Let's enter the word of prayer. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, and we give you praise, honor, and glory. Thank you right now for your presence, your power, your anointing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, for helping us to go forth tonight in Jesus' name, that we should hear a word from you, Lord God, for your great and awesome people, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love and your compassion, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, for you moving by your spirit in the name of Jesus, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you right now for your heart, Lord God, that heart that touches and even breaks through everything, Lord God, that may try to be in opposition against it in Jesus' name. And we thank you right now for your anointing, which destroys every yoke. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, show yourself strong, Lord God, as we trust, lean, and rely on you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, there's none like you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we bless you right now. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise, glory, honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Have your way. Jesus, increase that we have, that we decrease now. Jesus' name. Jesus, increase that we decrease now. Jesus, increase that we decrease now. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. We thank the Lord for his presence tonight and for what he's doing. Amen. He's about to do it. We welcome you once again. Amen. To Eagles of Flight Hour. Amen. And as we continue to go forth, amen. We want to get into the Word of God. We will ask you to turn with us to Mark chapter 6. Amen. As we get ready to get into the Word. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, amen. We want to go to verse 30. We're going to go to Mark chapter 6, verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And when the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto them to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, he said to his disciples unto them, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, and for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said to them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do we have? How many loaves do we have? Go and see. And when they knew, and they said 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked upon heaven look up to heaven and blessed and break the loaves and gave them to the disciples, give to his disciples to set before them, and two fish divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat the loaves were about 5,000 men. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Tonight, we want to talk to you, amen, on the subject of compassion. Compassion. Jesus, the scripture said that Jesus had compassion on the people. And he prayed. Let's go to that verse. He said, verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Amen. Today we have in life, you know, as we pursue in the gospel, we see where some people lack this thing called compassion. Compassion. Compassion is very important. Compassion is needed to be an effective leader today. Compassion can make, or the lack of compassion can break people. Compassion is needed for every leader to be effective today in ministry. And not just leaders, but just disciples in the Lord. When we look at compassion, Jesus was moved with compassion. He was compelled with compassion. He prayed for the people. Without compassion, there will be no connection to the people. Compassion means a feeling of wanting to help someone who's sick, hungry, or in trouble. Let's deal with those three there. A feeling of wanting to help. Let's just start right there. Sometimes as leaders, even just in the body of Christ, if we just talk about just people in general in church, the church world, church life, because Jesus saved us, we should have a compassion in our heart for those who don't have him. Not only for those who have him, but for those who are, just for human mankind, who are in bad situations, bad state of condition, and whatever case may be. We should have a servant spirit. Having compassion comes from a servant spirit. Not everyone is a servant by heart. Someone may be a servant by occupation, but may not be a servant by heart. And there's a reason why I say that. Amen. So once again, this compassion means a feeling of wanting to help someone who is sick, hungry, in trouble, etc. I just mentioned about, talking about compassion, but we are talking about also, so that compassion stems from a servant's heart. A servant. What is a servant? A servant is a person who is hired to do household or personal duties such as cleaning and cooking, okay? A person, that's one form of servant. Another form of servant is a person who is devoted to or guided by something. So when we look at having a servant's heart, we should have a heart devoted to Christ, a heart devoted to the works of God, a heart devoted to the kingdom of God. When we have a heart devoted to the kingdom of God, it is in us to serve. It is in us to have compassion to help others who may not be able to help themselves. But see, that compassion comes from a servant's heart because you have a heart and mindset to want to serve. And because you are a servant, you have it in you to be a servant, you have that compassion towards someone because you understand that someone is in need of something that you can give. A feeling of wanting to help. You know, having the desire to help someone who's down or helping. I've done this on many occasions. Even when I was at work driving, going forth, when I was driving truck, I was going through certain areas, going down the highway somewhere, and there was someone who stuck. This happened several times. Someone whose car shut off in the middle of the highway. One particular time, it was a woman whose car shut off in the middle of the highway. People behind her blowing the horn at her, and people going around, and traffic was kind of stopping up. But I'm thinking to myself, her car stopped in the middle of the road, and she's by herself. And so I can understand her not wanting to get out there. She's a woman. I mean, come on. So here it is. So what I've done, I'm going to tell my wife, I can attest to this. I pulled the truck over in the median, in the middle of the road, while on the clock. Went over there and said, ma'am, put your car in neutral. And she said, okay, put the car in neutral. I pushed the car off the highway to a safe place, wherever it is. I've done this, and the thing is about it, matter of fact, by me doing that, one person saw me struggling to push, you know, because it was a little distance I had to cut and push the car. But I was doing it by myself. People were passing, blowing on, and one guy stopped, put his car behind a truck, and came and helped me to finish push the car in. See, having compassion for people, having a feeling of wanting to help someone is golden. Because you never – see, the thing is about it, what motivates me is because, you know what, as a man and a man of God, I will never know if my wife – because being that I have a wife and children out there, I will never know if something could happen to where they may need someone to help them. And I keep that in mind because as a servant, you understand – what it means to serve. Okay, and when you talk about having compassion, your compassion for someone can make all the difference in the world. Now, what if I would not have helped her? Something could have bad could have happened. She probably got out there and tried and do something on her own, could have gotten hit, killed, or anything could have happened. Well, because having a servant's heart, I understand, first of all, I don't have a problem serving. And then when it came down to it, having compassion on her in her situation, that help made her day. It was bad enough that she was broken down. But the worst thing, the other part about it being stuck in the middle of the road into where, you know, a bunch of cars coming around blowing horns, like, you know, like they can't see she's broken down. So being able to do that, being able to help, I felt it was a joy. Being that I was able to be a blessing to someone when they were in need. There was another time my wife and I were going out of town and we were stopping and we came up the exit and we came off and it was a car that was stuck to the light. And they had a car from the car shut down once again. Well, I said, well, okay, my wife, I put the car in park and she knew what I was going to do. And she said, I put the car in park and I began to get the car, go on the car. I said, all right, put your car in reverse, on neutral. And I began to push the car, push it across the highway. And I get this, push the car across the highway. It was near to a gas station. These two men was sitting there leaning on the wall, looking, grown men, looking at me while I'm pushing the car. There's no compassion. I mean, at least even compassion for, you know, me or even for her. I mean, because obviously they didn't have compassion for her because they could have seen her off a distance and stalled in the road, but didn't help. But then here it is, you know, I'm pushing the car. Then one decided to come off the wall and they helped me as I'm pulling up in the driveway. I'm pushing the car up into the gas station. And they ran out of gas. But fact of the matter is this, you know, having a servant's heart and then having compassion, they work hand in hand. And that's what moved Jesus to heal. And see, you know, Jesus came through, you know, the time he was, you know, he just came together. He was looking for a deserted place to talk to the disciples and everything. But at the same time, you know, it's time of resting and, you know, replenishing. Let's go back a little bit and let's see how this kind of came about. Because his time of having compassion, this is after they had dealt with John the Baptist. John the Baptist was beheaded and everything. And the apostles gathered together, verse 30, gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things. And they told him to give him a report of everything that happened as far as we went out and everything, you know, sharing the kingdom, and we also have with John the Baptist and everything. And then, but both what they had done and what they taught. So when he sent them out two by two, they went out and ministered and everything. So they came back with a report of what happened. And when he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. This was a time for them to kind of cool, you know, come relax a little bit after they've doing all their labor in the field. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure, no kind of relaxation to so much as to eat. Okay, there was a time of leisure, time of rest and recovery, refreshing. And verse 32, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. So Jesus was trying to get away a little bit. He was trying to get them away, trying to separate them so they can get replenished and everything. He was trying to get replenished, and not only was he getting replenished, but he was wanting to just have some time to where they could be alone with him. So here it is, at this point here, we see where Jesus, and he, you know, he's telling them, you know, just come apart. Okay, in verse, he was saying we deal got on the ship, we're going to desert a place, and it was the ship was private. Okay, verse 33, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out with them, and came together unto him. So they saw him off afar, and then they all began to, you know, see, you know, they began to go to him. They began to all. They saw Jesus afar, they began to go chase after him. Everyone came together and found him. Okay, so at a time, once again, Jesus, at the time that Jesus was trying to cool out and just do his own thing, but they found him. Okay, so here it is. We go a little further. And 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. So here it is. Jesus was on the board, and he came out, and he saw a lot of people. So at the time when he was going to kind of shut down, relaxing with the disciples, it is the demand put on him. Now, see, the thing is, having a servant's heart is not when things are convenient. Having a servant's heart is recognized when you didn't have to or you don't have to, but then you choose to. It's more so, you know, when you understand that when you're a servant in your heart for real, you don't mind sacrificing. You don't mind going forth and doing. And sometimes some people have to say, look, you just stuck with you. It's already in you to do it. Sometimes they have to kind of tie you down and just make sure you don't do something because it's in you to do it. And then know that you don't have a problem serving. And when you have that servant's heart like that, and that means then, too, he is not only he have a heart to serve. See, the Word of God said that Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And because his example of being a servant, that's why he had also a servant's heart. He knew that the people, there was a demand from the people that needed him. And so he was able to meet them. He said, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. And was moved with compassion toward them. See, his compassion moved him towards the people to actually go minister to the people. And sometimes in with ministry and deal with people, you will find yourself in the place to where you'll get beyond yourself to where you, when you get into that servant mode, all that you always want to do with whatever the will of God, whatever the will of God is, to be able to bless and to help people, whatever it is, you may go forth and pray with people, lay hands on people, teach the Word of God. When it's in you, it's in you. Amen. And so he began to really, with that compassion moved him. And as a servant of the Lord today, we have to make sure that we have that compassion of Christ inside of us. And because if we don't have that compassion of Christ, we won't be effective servants like the way we need to. We just kind of just do stuff, you know, just because someone said do it. But really having that compassion goes beyond saying. See, no one had to ask Jesus, or they didn't have to tell Jesus, okay, you need to go and pray for them. He was moved compassionate within himself, and that not necessarily drove him, but that guided him, ushered him into the place of being a servant and helping and minister to the people. See, this is a very, very key thing that some people miss today. If anyone does need to call in, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to for question or prayer, amen, at this time. So because Jesus had this compassion, the compassion that was in his heart, it caused him to go out, step out even beyond his comfort zone. That's the thing with compassion. When you have compassion, it helps you to move when you're comfortable, helps you to move when everything is convenient or not convenient. Because of your compassion for people, compassion for the people who have died, you will have a drive within you to do even beyond someone asking you to do it because of compassion. Remember, the compassion means a feeling of wanting to help, have a desire, wanting to help someone who is sick, hungry, or in trouble. And so he having a desire to want to help. So, okay, let's look at someone who is sick. You know, Jesus had many miracles as far as healing people who were sick. And, you know, a lot of times because he traveled long distances to get to people who someone would say, well, my child, my servant is sick. I need you to come to my house. He traveled long distances just to go and help. And, you know, having that servant's heart. You know, they didn't have no horse and buggy per se. They had to walk, you know, most of the time, or camel or whatever it could be. But they didn't have transportation like we have today. Some people today want to go to a hospital. If God tell them to go to a hospital, they probably won't go. But because you have to have compassion. See, this is where you separate having a title. You know, some people don't have a title to do something in ministry. You know, that's the thin line between where someone just have a title or they're really called to really do what they're supposed to do. Now, they could actually have a genuine call, but if they lack the heart and the compassion, their ministry would not be effective the way it needs to be. You need to have compassion for the people of God, because if you don't have compassion for the people of God, what's going to motivate you to even open your mouth and speak? You know, we need to have compassion towards one another for those who are maybe less fortunate or whatever the case may be. Those who may need the Lord, we need to have that compassion to give them the Lord. See, we have a charge to keep. We, as servants of the Most High God, we have a charge to help, to a charge to serve. Amen. So here it is, having a feeling of wanting to help someone who is sick. So, you know, even for someone who's sick and who's going through, there have been times I've seen people who are in wheelchairs, and all with inside of me it wells up. Oh God, I just want to pray for them. You know, sometimes just because, you know, because it's overwhelming, you know, not overwhelming, but it's a welling up on the inside of you. They have that desire to want to see them healed. See, Jesus had desire to want to see them healed. That's why he was moved with compassion. That compassion caused him to come out of his comfort zone and do what he had to do. See, with compassion, it helps us to get out of that place of being lazy or just stuck in, just doing what we want to do. Because compassion will cause you to move when it's not even convenient. Compassion will cause us to move when, you know, like I said, when no one tell us to go do this or do that. That compassion will be there because there's a genuine heart felt pump for that person or what they're going through, to where you want to reach out and bring and show the love of Christ and make an impact in that person's life. And this is what the world needs from us. They need us to have that compassion that will compel us to go out and win the lost. Go out and help to feed the hungry. Go out and lay hands on the sick. See, it's going to be that compassion of Christ inside of us that's going to compel us to move and go forth and do great things. But we have to surrender ourselves to him completely and allow him to raise up inside of us, and even for that servant's heart to emerge and come forth, and we have a heart to serve. That's why, you know, when people want to just get a position just to be served, it's out of whack. It's not right. Because why? The higher your office call goes, the greater a servant you should be. You should be one of the greatest servants. As an apostle, one who don't mind serving because of the call of God that's on your life. Same with the prophet. great servants should be the one who shouldn't have no problem with going forth and doing. And let me tell you, it's not always about the pulpit action anyway. If you're talking about cleaning out the bathroom, you should never get so hot to where you can't clean up the bathroom. Clean the bathroom, mop the floor. Whatever things that may not, quote unquote, be in your repertoire. But the fact of the matter is, wherever a servant, a true servant, is wherever you need it to be, or whatever you need to do, whatever capacity you need to serve, you're willing to do it at any given time. You know, especially this thing of to where someone just give you the directors or whatever case may be. But it's not about, you know, it's not about convenience. It's not always about, because it's not always going to be convenient. Sometimes you may have to sacrifice. I remember years ago, my wife and I, we was taking this lady, she was an evangelist. We were taking her from church. We was taking her ride home, And so we were going to take her home. She said, I need you to stop here. Stop one, please. I need you to stop there. I said, okay, no, please. She asked us to stop at two or three different places, and, you know, and it's like, we were kind of like, okay. You know, but we kept our cool. I mean, don't get me wrong. We even know. I mean, it was like, okay, what's up with this? But we kept our composure. We didn't say anything out of the way. We still was respectful. We did what she asked us to do. And at the end, she said, go pass the test. I'm like, pass the test? And she said the Lord was testing to allow her, through her, to test us to see how much we were willing to serve, you know, paraphrase, you know, how she was willing to be a servant or do, and just have a heart to do it, you know. And she was an older lady, whatever, but we just held our peace and just did what was, you know, as, you know, she was respectful every day. And I think she prayed for us. And I'm not sure if she sort of seeded her life or two. But the fact of the matter, we were blessed by that, because she was a blessing to us for being, being willing servants to do. Because we didn't have to do that. But it was after service, and his, we was taking her home. But we, you know, had compassion, and then we, you know, whatever she needed to do, we went ahead and did it. We didn't complain, but we was kind of wondering, like, what's up with this? But we kept all cool, and everything was cool. But the fact of the matter, we were willing to serve. And then we didn't do it without complaining or attitude. And we passed the test from God. See, that's why when it comes to having compassion, you know, being a servant, first of all, being a servant, but also having compassion is so important, because you never know why God may want you to do a thing. And that could be the very thing. How you handle or don't handle or mishandle a situation can either promote you, demote you, or cause you just miss the blessing altogether. Now, that was a very important lesson that we learned, to hold our tongue, and just, especially when it comes to really respecting leadership. And some people today don't want to respect the leadership, but these are leaders. These are people God put in place. You got to watch how you handle leadership. You got to, because yes, they also be modified how they handle you, but we really got to watch how we handle leadership. Because if you disrespect the leader, you disrespected God, because God put them in that place, and especially if they're doing, you know, what the Lord told them to do. And even if they're not doing everything the Lord tells you to do, they're telling them to do, you still got to be careful how you handle them, because it's still God's anointing. Listen, King Saul was trying to take David's head. David was ducking, and King Saul was throwing a javelin at his head, trying to hit him. He was trying to kill him. David had an opportunity to take Saul out, King Saul. He cut this part of his garment, this robe, and basically let him know, I had you. If I really wanted you, I could have took you out. He was sleeping. Saul was sleeping somewhere, and he had a chance to take Saul out, but he didn't, because he remembered, touch not my anointing, do my prophet no harm. He respected the leader. And see, we have to understand that, yeah, you may can say what you want to say and this and that, but understand, when you put it out there against God's leader, you got to remember, God heard you. You got to be careful, be mindful. Amen. So by having compassion is very important. And having compassion, you know, having a desire to want to, a feeling of wanting to help someone who's sick and who's hungry or who's in trouble, this thing makes a big difference, because is so valuable today when we don't have compassion because we miss out on a lot of opportunities to be a blessing to someone. And see, the thing is, God want to use you. The God in you want to rise up and be a blessing. But sometimes we get stuck in our own ways and we don't be a blessing because it's not convenient. It's not what we want to do. But listen here, when you give your life to the Lord, bottom line, point blank, period, it's not about you. You listen. Listen to what I'm saying. You gave your life to the Lord. If anyone has a question or comment at this time, when they need prayer, you can call 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the queue box and state your question or comment. Amen. So when we talk about point blank period, you know, you got to be careful how how we do stuff, how we handle people, and how we, you know, as far as when it come down to doing what's right, we got to make sure that we, as servants of the Most High, we represent God right. The worst thing we can do is be a misrepresentation of leadership. Oh, God. Because if God recognizes a call in your life, there's a call in your life, and God recognizes you as so, then obviously God is expecting you to serve. And sometimes we forget, and sometimes we want to be served. And now, don't get me wrong, God don't have a problem with you being served, but at the same time, we got to understand that God has placed you as a servant. The reason why you may have a title, because there's a higher level of responsibility of servanthood that you're called to. And that's why we need, as leaders who are called to serve, we need compassion. Because compassion will cause us to keep our mouth closed when our mouth want to rush, when we want to say something. Compassion will cause us to go pray when we want to go slay. See, when we want to take matters in our own hands, that compassion will cause us to be quiet and sit down somewhere. And make sure that we have the heart of God when we move in certain situations, that we don't get in our flesh and allow our flesh to lead us and guide us. See, when the Bible said we're supposed to, when we're talking about being led by the Spirit, we're talking about being, when you're led by the flesh, it leads to death. But when you're led by the Spirit, it leads to life and peace. See, whenever we follow the flesh, remember, being led by the flesh means you follow behind flesh. Flesh is standing in front of you, and you follow behind flesh. That's going to lead to death. That's going to lead to separation. That's not going to be good. But when you follow behind the Spirit, that's life and peace. See, you get more out of following life and peace, and you get more of that than just follow behind your flesh. So just that's why we have to be careful and mindful that, you know, we got to make sure we follow the Spirit of God. Don't allow the enemy to lead you wrong or mislead you or make you think that you can do what you want to do or whatever. No, follow the Spirit. And following the Spirit of God takes obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. This is why we have to be careful who we allow to influence our lives, who we connect to. All these things are important because we need to make sure that we are connected to the right people who are in obedience. Amen. It's dangerous to be connected with people who are not walking in obedience. It's very dangerous. It can cost you more than you want to spend. Okay. Lamandioso. God, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, glory to God. Let's go, once again, 34. It says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them because they were, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. See, because he realized, you know, when I see people going through, especially with stuff with ministry and people we train leaders, and that's what we do. That's one thing God's called us to do, help train leaders how to serve in the body, so how to serve the body. So when we see people, in there, okay, I'm going to service, and I'll see someone who's not serving in the right, not doing what they ought to be doing. And the reason why I say that is I remember I went to service one time. There's a person who was there. They asked to do one thing. They asked to give a word to somebody. And the preacher allowed them to give a word to somebody. But then the problem was, after they gave the word to somebody, they began to go to other people. And this to other people. And the point thing was that they were not the guest speaker that night. So they're cutting it with it and ask permission to do one thing. Now they're trying to do it to everybody, prophesy to more than one person. And then on top of that, they're taking up time away from the speaker. So when the speaker did get up there, the time was cut. So, you know, when you see stuff like that, you understand protocol and order, it vexes you because here it is, you know, this person, if they had compassion and realized, you know what, but at the same time, you know, I keep in mind that they're not taught. And this is what compels me to help teach leaders because it helped them be mindful. We're not saying I know everything, no, but just because that which I know, I want to share because I understand, you know, and you see how that looks out there. You know, he did not look good. I'll put it like this. Seeing what I saw from him, I wouldn't want to invite him to our church because that shows that there's a discipline, you know, they haven't been taught. And they're just running wild doing whatever they want to do, and that's not order. You know, there's a way you're supposed to do things and you're supposed to keep it in order. And they were not being taught. Even they were given a title, but they weren't being taught. And that's the danger today. That's why we need mentorship. We need teaching. We need to be trained. Need to be connected in a class or whatever, so that you can learn and understand who you are as a man or woman of God, and also to know how to serve. Amen. We have to be mindful of these things because it can come back and hurt us. You know, you can destroy your ministry before you even get started. That's one of the biggest problems with sometimes some people. Their ministry never get off the ground because they didn't start off good or they didn't have the leaders to take time to invest in them. And so now they're trying to go forth in ministry. And, you know, just like pulling this, there's a certain type of quality of this is where name brand and generic separates. Certain name brand companies, like, for instance, back in the day, they had, like, Whirlpool equipment. Then you would have, say, Tito equipment, T-I-T-O. Okay. And the thing is, that may be just an off-brand. Well, Whirlpool have a standard. There's a standard that comes with the Whirlpool. There's a standard of excellence or a standard or mark that they shoot for. There's a quality that they have. There's an endurance that they may have on their machines or whatever the object it is. Whatever it is, the appliances, they have a duration, an endurance that they last a certain duration time. They last a certain thing, like the time, and they're good quality. They may not make as much. You know, when you have a Whirlpool, certain things you have. When they run, you can hardly hear it, but you know, barely hear it. I'm just saying it figuratively speaking. Now, the Tito, that thing, that machine, you may hear it down the street. You may, it might last 6 months out of the year, and you have to buy another cord because the cord keep burning out because it's not a good quality machine. So this is the same way when it comes to learning and training leaders. See, the greater the impartation, the greater will be the manifestation that comes out of them. And this is why we understand what we do. When we take time and build. See, one thing we like to say in our ministry, we don't build churches, we build leaders. You know, we build people. And this is a very important because when you build people, this is where your legacy continues on because you imparting this information that they're receiving into them, and they're able to teach others. See, this is why we see. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Okay, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That the things that thou mayest heard, that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou in faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I want to repoint that point right there. Verse 2. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. And this is what we're supposed to do. This is how we train leaders, how we build those leaders, people who have a leadership ability on them, or you may not have a necessary leadership ability who are called to the Bible. But I say in this case, what we're dealing with, some leaders, people who have a leadership qualities in them. They have it in them. It's true leaders in the heart, by the heart. But they just need to be trained. They need to be taught. So here it is. These are faithful men. These are people who that we can see that has the qualities of a leader. These things that thou hast heard of me. See, everything we've heard of me is seen. Many witnesses have seen. The same commit thou to faithful men. People who will take time. Here we go. Faithful men are people who will take time to come soul time to learn. These are people who take time to soul time to learn. These are people who take time to soul time to learn. These are faithful people. And because they're faithful like that, they take time out to soul time, they give time, so they can learn and be equipped to do what God's called them to do. And so here's, let's see the other part of that. Okay. He says, the same commit thou to men, to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Not just for them to learn, but also so they can pass the baton to teach others. This is why we do what we do. This is why we train and teach. And see, we're building a legacy because now people will be able to tell if you came from under that training, that leadership, they know, okay, they should be able to go back to the whirlpool. People should know the quality of the whirlpool versus the quality of the Tito products. Because the whirlpool should have a standard of operation, a standard of living, a standard of operation that they live by. Not just one time. They live by this standard. If it's not this standard here, they don't put it on the shelf. That's what it technically should be. And so here it is when, you know, even as the leaders, building up leaders, okay, we should have the same quality too. If it doesn't produce to this level, if it's not a capacity, we don't put it out there. We can, you know, if you disqualify, want to be qualified, then that's not going to work. If you are not in the if you cannot go through the process to be, you know, to be made, then that's not good. So that goes to show that something's missing, something's wrong. So this is why we have to deal, you know, with those things that we see people who are not trained is a big difference from those people who have sold time to be taught. Those are faithful men and women, God. Those are people who want to learn, and this is what God wants us to be, teachable. These are people who are teachable. Compassion. And so this is where it brings us to the place of compassion. As when you're being made as a leader, you have that compassion, that servant, having that servant's heart. And that, from that servant's heart, that compassion should be able to come forth. Amen. To be a help to someone, be a blessing, not to just to be served. Amen. So, amen. So once again, we've got to understand that's a very important thing when we see how God is in operation here, how he wants us to be when it comes down to being given a standard of living. Amen. So when we had compassion on the people when they prayed. So, you know, this is why we need to have compassion for others. It's very important that we do, because if we don't have compassion for others, we won't be effective in the kingdom the way we need to. We will actually be pushing people away versus actually helping. And this is why God wants us to really be mindful of how we deal with one another, how we love one another, how we train, teach one another. I mean, it's a difference between training someone and abusing someone. You've got to be mindful of that. Amen. All right, so once again, if you want to call, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get into the Hugh Box. Amen. Okay, verse 35 says, and when the day was now spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now time is far past. So he's talking about far as even out there with, you know, far as with the people and everything. Time got to relate. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said to them, Jesus answered and said to them, give ye them eat. Give ye them to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He said to them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. See, when Jesus asked that question, he already knew his answer. He already knew what he was going to do. He asked him a question: what do we have? He said, how many loaves do we have? So he knew if he had one or two, he would have done the same thing he did. Go and see. And when they knew, they said five loaves and two fish. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. So here it is. Since he already knew what he's working with, he began to sit them down in the ranks of how he wanted to serve them. Amen. And when he had taken the five loaves and two fish, he looked unto heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the two fish divided by among them all. Amen. So we see here, he blessed and he break, and he gave. He blessed, he break, and he gave. He blessed, break, and he gave. Amen. So, you know, so it's a very important thing how we see how he blessed, break, he gave. In verse 42 says, they did all eat and were filled. Okay, so everyone ate. Once again, thank God for his compassion. Amen. He came, he ministered to them, showed them, taught them things of the kingdom. Then he went back and actually fed them. And they took up loaves, 12 baskets full of fragments and of fish. And they did eat of the loaves, were about 5,000 men. So because he took time and feed them, to do what he did, he took 5 loaves and 2 fish, fed over 5,000 people. So he had compassion. Now, what I'm saying this to you is, when you have compassion for the work of God, God will have compassion for you. He showed that he got that compassion back because he was willing to do the work of the Father. The Father gave him exactly what he needed to get the job done. He caused the supernatural to happen to make sure that her provision would have, because he was willing, you know, and able. He was willing to do it. God provided for him. God gave him exactly what he needed to fulfill the task, whatever it is. See, compassion should cause you to move because you understand it's going to be God who get the glory out of the situation, whatever the case may be. But God is going to get the glory out of it. And not only God going to get the glory, but you're doing it to help someone. And when you have to do it out of a sincere place to help someone, you know, it's going to cause them, you know, it's going to make a difference. Remember, compassion means a feeling of wanting to help someone who is sick, hungry, in trouble. These people were in trouble. They were hungry. It's late. It was a need. So because he was willing to help them in their time of need, God also helped them in his. He only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. God blessed it. He blessed it, and he break it. And it was more than enough to where they collected all the fragments in the end. Amen. Then nothing was lost. When you give everything to Jesus and you allow him to you give yourself as a servant to him, and you allow his compassion to take over in your life and really begin to touch your heart, you will be surprised how effective your life can be because you surrender all to him. And when you give your all, he will do all that he has to do to keep you. He will do all he has to do to make things happen on your behalf because you have a heart to give. Amen. He will provide you with the donations. He'll provide you whatever the case may be to get the job done. That compassion makes the difference. When you have that feeling, you have a desire to help those who need help, when you have a desire to help those who are in trouble, God sees that. He honors that. That's why we have to be careful how we treat one another and just do things just normally that be careful. God is always watching us. He wants us to be mindful, have compassion for one another. Compassion will help you look past people's faults. Yeah, you know. Sometimes we go through some challenges, but sometimes that it'll help you overcome and get past some people's thoughts. I mean, people's different ways they may have, or whatever the case may be. It helps you. Your compassion helps you because you get past all of that and do what's right or what God wants you to do. Because sometimes people are going to challenge you. And that's why sometimes you're going to take the compassion of God to touch your heart and cause you to move. Amen. Glory to God. But once again, we need to call in the number 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the queue box. Amen. So let's begin to pray. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. Thank you for each and every one who's heard tonight, heard your word, and received your word in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the manifestation of change in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, for the word. Thank you for having a servant's heart, and thank you for the compassion to serve. Thank you, Jesus, for that compassion, that power, that place of that power, the purpose, Lord God, for your plan, Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for showing yourself strong in the name of Jesus, for doing the greatness, Lord God, the greater thing that you called us to do. Lord God, do it in our lives, Lord God. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, Lord God, thank you for your compassion. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if anyone who does not know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, this is an opportunity for you, amen, or if you have saved, but you're out of fellowship with God, you're backslidden, amen. Well, we want to give you an opportunity to get right on both sides, amen. We'll get you all right, amen. If you need to be saved, amen, we'll lead you in salvation, or if you need to rededicate your life, we'll lead you as well. Father, repeat after me, Father, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Lord, I surrender my all to you. I give my all. Lord, thank you for washing me, making me white as snow. I surrender all to you, Lord. I open my heart, and I believe that Jesus died for me. And I believe that he rose on the third day. And he gave me life, and that life more abundantly. So, Lord, I surrender myself to you. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. And I release, seal it in Jesus' name. Amen. And if there's anyone who would need to be rededicated, Lord, forgive me for going my own way, for going astray, Lord. Thank you for realigning me back up with your will, your purpose, and your plan for my life. I surrender all to you. I embrace your presence. Lord, thank you for teaching me your ways. Thank you, Lord God. I thank you for reconnection, that I shall walk out, Lord God, your ways like never before. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we bless you, and we thank you, Lord God, because I am now saved. I receive, Lord God, Jesus is my Lord. Once again, I receive the alignment, and I come into that place of agreement that he is my Lord, and also he's my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, amen. Thank God for each and every one of you. God bless you. I pray that you are blessed by the teaching tonight. Amen. Definitely go forth and have an awesome week. May your week be blessed. Amen. If anyone desires to sow a seed tonight, you can go to our PayPal account. The PayPal address is eagleswingsim@yahoo.com. eagleswingsim@yahoo.com. Amen. And if you desire to sow seed by mail, amen, the post office box is P.O. Box 2185, P.O. Box 2185, Ridgeland, South Carolina, 29936. Amen. Amen. So we God bless you all, and we thank you. We have a great day. Happy Valentine's Day for those, amen, who celebrate the day, and just have a great day on tomorrow as well. God bless you all. Kingdom blessings to you. Amen. Bye-bye.
You know, Melvin, you know what? somebody asked me just the other day, say, heart, how can you shake a person's hand and you know they don't like you? I told him, the reason I do it is in my heart. I got a phone call not too long ago. Somebody said, heart, how can you leave your family and go sing all the time? I told him, I love my family.
Oh, yeah.
I love my family.
Yes, I do.
I love my family.
Oh, my.
But the reason I'm doing it. There's a reason I'm doing it.
There's a reason you're doing it.
Because it's in my heart. I got to love my enemies.
Yes, yes.
I got to love my friends.
And
whenever you see me, I'll be.